Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
Many people have, or they get, what I have called crisis religion. Crisis religion. And what I mean by that is they commit to prayer, or as they say, going to church. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, in view of an impending crisis, "Preacher, I'm going to start going to church." And I'm glad for that. Well, they start going to church. They read the Bible. But all of those things are motivated by a crisis of some kind. Maybe it's a health crisis or a family crisis or a money crisis or any number of kind of crises. But then when the crisis subsides, then it's kind of back to normal and you rarely see them until the next crisis comes. Well, it's so shamelessly obvious, but they seem oblivious. I've often wondered, and I've mentioned this before from the pulpit, what made this family or this person come to church today? Not seen them in weeks, maybe even months, but here they are, front and center today. Wonder what motivated them today. What was shaking in their lives today that they decided to come to church? Well, who knows? Well, I don't think God is fooled by crisis religion. There's a lot of things wrong with that. One being the whole idea of religion. You know, God is not all that impressed with religion. But God is certainly not fooled by crisis religion. In fact, I suspect he is angered by it. And the reason I say that is because of the demonstration and the reflection we see in the life of Saul, the first king of Israel, in 1 Samuel 13. I want to make some points as we go along in our story. It's a delight to me to pick out various things in the story and try to make application for us today. And he's reading about Saul, and this just jumped out to me in a particular way. Well, 1 Samuel 13, Saul has just begun to reign. And in his mind, his success as a king is going to be measured by political or military terms, or in political and military terms. And by that I mean, he is not leading the people of God by providing an example to them of holy living. He is not giving them an example of integrity and honesty as the king. No, he has a very worldly mindset, and that is, it's a numbers game. I mean, he wants to be successful in terms of military and politics, just like people in the world measure success a lot of times by profits or points or playthings. What's the saying that the one who has the most toys at the end wins? Is that, that's kind of how the world measures success. Points, profits, playthings. Well, that was kind of Saul's mentality. You see us in all these great Bible characters in the Scripture. I mean, we're there one way or another. Whether it's a good example or a bad example, all of us are in the Old Testament and the New Testament, so we can learn from them. But anyway, going back to Saul, you know very well that the Philistines were Israel's thorn in the side. All the way through for years and years and years. And so Saul felt like he could score some real political points if he was able to defeat the Philistines. And so he fires the first shot. He has one of the Philistine governors killed. So needless to say, that stirs up the Philistines. They get mad as hornets, as a matter of fact, and assemble this tremendous army against Israel. Massive force. In fact, Israel is far outnumbered. Their guys are retreating. I mean, it's not a good deal. It's a crisis. It's a crisis. And so as we continue reading, you sort of wonder if Saul is not thinking to himself about this time, what have I done? Now, he would never admit that. But what have I done getting the Philistines all stirred up as I have? Well, it's time to call God's man, Samuel, the prophet of God, God's man. And so Saul calls Samuel. Certainly he'll get this all fixed. God's man can get it fixed. Well, Samuel didn't get there. Sort of reminds me of Jesus in the New Testament when his dear friend Lazarus was sick and he got word that Lazarus was sick, and you'd think he'd just make a beeline to Bethany to deal with this problem, but he doesn't. Now, he has his reasons for it. Samuel doesn't just respond to Saul's bidding immediately. In fact, he doesn't arrive for 7 long days. And yet this battle looms against the Philistines and with a very weakened Israeli force. So it's looking worse and worse all the time. Well, this is when Saul got religion. Bring me the burnt offerings. Bring me the peace offerings. And so he sacrificed a burnt offering in the sanctuary. Samuel showed up, sees what he has done, and says something to the effect, "What in the world are you doing?" Well, Saul said, and you know, it's again so typical of human beings. "Well, things look bad. When I saw I was losing my army, you hadn't come, and so the Philistines were ready to attack, and so I just took things into my own hands and made a sacrifice." And by the way, as I read this, I just cannot help but think, you know, some would look at that, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, he's looking up to God. He's admitting he doesn't have the strength to do it by himself, so he's looking up to God. And I think by today's standards and today's mentality, so many would say, well, he meant well, so what's the big deal? You shouldn't judge people as they worship God. He's just expressing himself to God. I can only imagine the harsh response you would get today if you said Saul was in any way wrong. But he was wrong. He was wrong. Not only was he wrong, he's foolish. Notice what is said in 1 Samuel 13, beginning in verse 13. "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." In other words, Saul, even as we speak, your replacement is being sought by God. Now, what's the big deal here? Well, the big deal is, in this regard, offering sacrifices was something only priests could do. Saul took upon himself a priestly duty as king. In other words, he made a big assumption. A big assumption. And it was a wrong assumption. And because of that, God started dismantling what could have been a Saul dynasty over Israel. Here's the problem with crisis religion. Getting religion, as I've titled the lesson this morning. When a crisis comes, Saul's offering his sacrifice was not in any way a demonstration of his love for God or his trust in God. He was motivated by the fear of losing something that was very precious to him. And in his case, it was position and power. It seems innocent enough if you just read through it. It was well-intentioned, even disguised as worship. But you see, instead of living in fear of God, he was really just in fear of the Philistines. And so that's why he does what he does. And so the consequence, as I indicated, from this moment forward, God starts taking away his kingship. It will be slowly over time dismantled, and David will be called in to be his replacement. Now, it won't happen immediately. It'll come over time. Sometimes we think God's punishments come instantaneously. Well, they don't. And so Saul, for a long time, keeps the title of king, but he doesn't have God with him. And it's rough sledding for Saul. But what I want you to see is this morning, it had nothing to do with the Philistines. It had everything to do with Saul and what was going on in his heart. You see, our hearts, folks, more of a battlefield than any battlefield between nations. Your heart, my heart, there's where the real struggle goes, and there's where success or failure will take place within us. Regardless of the external circumstances, there's all kinds of external circumstances that affect us and do affect us profoundly, but the real issue is our response of the heart. Jesus said one time, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, I'm taking his words a little out of context because this is not his main point when he said that. But there is a truth in what he said, and that is this world will always have its conflicts, always have its crises. You will always have your conflicts, your crises, whether they be health, financial, whatever. Things are going well for you today. It won't be that way forever. You're going to have a crisis down the road. You're in a crisis right now. It won't last. It'll pass, and you'll have more happy days. You don't see how now, but you will. I mean, that's the nature of this world. Things come and go. We will move on from one crisis to another. Many of those crises, by the way, are of our own making, sadly. And as the Bible says, we blame God for it, but they're of our own making. Crisis religion. What I'm saying is, crisis religion reveals the true nature of our heart. Regardless of what we say, or how beautifully we sing, or praise God, or whatever is the expression of our crisis religion. Like Saul, we are really afraid we're going to lose something that we value more than we can describe. Faithful obedience in crisis religion is the furthest thing from our mind. And so in desperation, we call out for God. We fall on our knees. We lift up our hands. We call out for God. Sort of like the little gecko in the TV commercial that's had a flat tire. Have you seen that commercial? Got to inject some drama here. Please help me, I've had a flat tire. Well, that's kind of how we operate in our spiritual lives. Go from one crisis to another, whatever that crisis is. And like Saul, we think that that crisis kind of religion will somehow pacify God. And that indicates something about our concept of God, that He is small enough that He can be so pacified or persuaded. But we are reminded in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king." You see, God is not fooled. We may be fooled. I suspect we are fooled. We're not doing anything that we think is an act or a pretense. We think we're okay, but God is not fooled by crisis religion. And the tragic irony in Saul's case is, he loses the very thing that he most wanted to protect in his crisis religion. He offered the sacrifice, but God said, because of that, you're losing your kingdom. Folks, crisis religion, as demonstrated and reflected in the life of Saul, first king of Israel, is bad because it forgets something very important about God. The Lord, folks, listen. The Lord is the only constant in life. He is there, always there for us. He doesn't fluctuate. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always there. Count on Him. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows your situation. There's no reason for hopping from one crisis to another and calling on God. Now, that's not to say God's unconcerned about our crisis. Oh, He very much is. But He is faithful. You be faithful to Him. I guess what I'm saying this morning, let us live in calm, rhythm, and harmony with God, our faithful Father. You know, I never saw Jesus panic. He was always, even though He knew He had a limited amount of time, and He knew exactly what awaited for Him, on a particular day. I mean, it was on his day runner. I mean, it was on his telephone. He knew exactly what was going to happen and when. But he just lived his life in calm rhythm with God. No crisis. Oh, he dreaded it like everything. He dreaded assuming the sins of the world and God turning his back on him. Oh, he dreaded that. I still think the most horrendous part of the crucifixion experience he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, not on the cross. Oh, the cross was painful, but people have always experienced painful death. He wasn't the only one. He will not be the last one. It was what he was doing spiritually that was so agonizing to Jesus, and seeing his most faithful friends abandon him, the apostles. I mean, that was far worse than the cross. Physically, the cross. But he's there. He did it. And he's there for us all the time. Living in calm rhythm and harmony with his God. Paul said in Galatians 5:25, and I love the statement. He said, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does that remind you of? You military guys, you know what it reminds you of. Walking in step. You know what God wants of you. Are you walking in step with him? Or are you out of step with him? Crisis religion. Think of your relationship with the Lord like a balloon. Got that? Think of your relationship with the Lord like a balloon. What are the two ways you can keep a balloon afloat? Well, one is by blowing up the balloon. Now, what goes into that balloon when you blow up a balloon? Your own breath, right? And sometimes it can be tough. I've seen balloons that I just could hardly blow up, but... Wait a minute, I'm feeling lightheaded here. But that's not the only problem with that kind of balloon. What does it take to keep it up? Huh? I'm sorry. Oh, well, she said more air. Well, that's true. I was thinking of something else. You got to keep hitting it. Don't you? That's the fun of a balloon around the house with the kids. You know, you're kind of like volleyball. You got to keep hitting it. You got to keep smacking it to keep it up. And that's what we do at church sometimes with people whose own breath is in that balloon. They're trying to live by their own power. And so they'll, preacher, I'm going to come to church. Okay, see ya. They may or may not be there, but okay. We're always happy to have posteriors in seats. And so you come and I'll smack you. That's why people don't like preachers. You get smacked by them. Okay. Give more. Boop. Attend more. Smack. Give to mission. Smack. Got to keep smacking. Keep that thing up. If there's not a smack, it's right down on the ground. And that's how a lot of folks live who claim to be Christians. They got to have the smack. They're trying to do it by their own breath. What's the other way to keep a balloon going? Helium. Helium, that mysterious gas, goes into that balloon, and it doesn't just stay up. You turn it loose, it soars. It may wind up in Arkansas if you turn it loose right out here in our parking lot. That's the way to live. That's God's Holy Spirit within us. We don't understand it. And I'm not talking about some miraculous, dramatic kind of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Not talking about tongue speaking and miracle doing and any of that kind of business. Just talking about living in calm rhythm with God because His Spirit's within. And I'm not saying it's a protective bubble as a Christian. Oh no. A valley doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Problems don't mean that things are amiss in your life. We live in a fallen world. We're in the backwash. We live in the backwash of Adam's sin. I'm going to talk more about that Wednesday night. I mean, it's just tough. This old life is tough. And sometimes it looks good, sometimes it looks bad. It did for the apostles, it did for Jesus. But there's something available that can keep us going, keep us afloat. And it's nothing that requires outward stimulation or smacking. It's something that wells up inside of us that keeps us afloat and even causes us to soar. And the result of that, there will be fewer crises in our lives. And again, I'm not talking about a bubble of protection. I'm just saying that there are things that once would rattle you to your foundation, but do so no longer, because there's something inside. Living in step with God, with His principles, in step with His Spirit, regardless of what you're going through, is the best possible life. Folks, we have a good, powerful God. All the time. And I've told you this before. One of my problems, and maybe it's just with me, but I hate seeing on Facebook, "I got the job. God is good." I want to tell you something. God is good if you didn't get the job. God is just good. So don't hop from one crisis to another. How about it? No more crisis religion. It didn't work well for Saul, and it won't work well for you or me. God bless you this week.